This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we'll get to Trent's takes later on. Plus, tough night in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs for yours truly and my Edmonton Oilers. We're a step closer to me losing a show bet. But we may have to change said parameters of show bet because some big developments in the last few moments. We'll get to that later on. I'll let you know what I'm talking about and fill you in on all the behind-the-scenes details on the Morrow Midday Show coming up. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your next podcast. And the podcasts are always available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page. This time every week, we talk golf with Jeremy Schilling. Our resident golf expert, who's on Twitter at Jay Schill, writes for PGA Magazine. He joins us at this time every Wednesday to break it all down. You know, golf's really interesting. Of course, we break it all down with Jeremy every week, but it seems like there's always some sort of drama. Golf has become very dramatic, it seems, and I love it. And there's always some sort of big story going on every week, whether it's Phil Mickelson or it's Tiger Woods or even going back to Brooks and Bryson, and now you got the PGA Tour and the whole, you know, denying waivers and everything. So let's dive all into it with Jeremy. Jeremy, good afternoon. How are you?
I am well, Luke. Good afternoon. Before we dive into it, just really quickly, what was the original bet that you had, show bet for hockey?
We had, originally started with what's called the Millionaire's Pie, which I don't know if you've ever heard of or had. I had not, but it's a thing here. And the idea was we were going to have to purchase a Millionaire's Pie for the other one so that we could actually try it. It became a whole thing on the show and became a topic for a day. And then we added on the other part that we were considering. Was to pie the other person in the face as well. So you have to buy a millionaire's pie, and you get pied in the face if the team that I chose or the team that Trent chose didn't go quite as far as the other.
Well, I guess I'll have to tune in to find out
That's
what
right.
the changes have been,
because well,
this is going to be very interesting. Not as interesting as I think a legal battle that's brewing in golf, but we've got everything from injuries to success to failure to talk about, Luke. So where do you want to start?
Yes, certainly. Let's. We usually start with, you know, what happened the weekend prior. So before we get to all the deets, the dirty stuff, let's first talk about what happened on the course this past weekend at the Wells Fargo Invitational. Brutal conditions. What stood out to you about the way things played out?
The fact that Max Homa survived it all in brutal conditions on Friday and Saturday, rainy, windy, guys all around him going all over the place in the leaderboard, and he was Mr. Steady, and he makes the putt at 15, he makes the putt at 11, it just all the crucial putts went his way that ultimately led to him being able to win the title with some Keegan Bradley slipped in, and this is now his fourth win. And he does it after working really, really hard on this game last week in Alabama with his coach, Mark Blackburn. And he's got the type of profile, game profile, Luke, that you would think will play well at Southern Hills. He doesn't hit it off the map very much. That's helpful to major. And he's extremely consistent. And when you're extremely consistent in what you're putting out there every single week, it's hard to get off. You may not make enough birdies one week. You may not, you know, be able to fix something else, but just really, really, really consistent with his game top to bottom. And it shows in the stats, which I think reflect Max's strengths. And by the way, I mean, he shot an even par 35 on the back nine with two birdies and two bogeys. He was able to offset everything he messed up. with something positive en route to shooting 68 on the day. But if you dive into the stat pack for him, third in strokes gained off the tee, 16th in approach, and fourth in putting. That's just a really good all-around game, Luke. That's going to be hard to get off track.
Now, what was the what's the motivation for Max? You said something about the senior circuit. What's up with this? Because he's only 31 years old. What's the connection with the senior circuit?
Yeah, so he's practicing at TPC Scottsdale recently and ran into Notabegay III, Tiger's longtime friend, his teammate at Stanford, now works for Golf Channel and NBC. And he saw Nota grinding, and he was confused because Nota basically had to retire from golf with back problems. He's like, what are you doing? And Nota has been getting ready for the Champions Tour. He turned 50 in October. And he informed Max that when you get to four wins, you become automatically eligible for the PGA Tour Champions when you turn 50. And, Luke, you've always talked, or you and I have both heard coaches over the years talk about how important the big goals are and then how important the journey goals are before them, the incremental goals to that path. Four wins gets you nothing on the PGA Tour. It does not move you up in a category. It doesn't. It's absolutely meaningless as a number. But he was able to give it purpose because of the senior circuit, of which he's 19 years away from qualifying for.
Yeah.
If it works, it works.
Right, yeah. Hey, whatever you need. And nice to check some of those boxes well in advance. Talking golf with Jeremy Schilling, our resident golf expert who joins us every Wednesday. You mentioned it in the breakdown of what happened over this weekend at Wells Fargo about Keegan Bradley. He had a tough Sunday going two over and then, you know, losing by two strokes. What stood out about Keegan Bradley kind of fading or even collapsing there Sunday and now moving forward?
It wasn't so much collapsing. It was just more that he made a couple bad swings at the wrong time. Had hits in the water on either 11 or 12, whatever that back nine hole was. And then messed up a par five on the front. And when you make two doubles, it's just not going to help your cause for shooting low numbers. And I think that's a really good lesson for the folks out there, that what he failed to do was to limit the mistakes. And by not limiting the mistakes, he got himself a couple doubles on the card in a day where you couldn't afford to put doubles on the card. The weather was better. It was number 11. And number two, when he had some short game issues while short-sighting himself and tried to play it too cute, should have hit to the center of the green on 11 and should have just taken his 20 feet on number two, instead of trying to hit this cutie pitch shot that would have run out to the hole when he was short-sighted. He was trying to be too cute. He hasn't won since 2018. And those things are hard. Those things are really, really hard to slow your brain down, slow your thinking down, and slow your process down. He's a former PGA champion. It's been 11 years since that one major win at Atlanta Athletic Club. Say that three times fast, Luke. But he has been able to bring back his game, resurrect his game. The anchoring band hurt him majorly in trying to find a putting method that works. He's now found it, and he's on his way back. I'm not saying anything harsh about him. He just did not play that Sunday as clean a round as he had to. Compare that to Saturday when in some of the toughest conditions, he didn't make one double or worse. So just something to ponder over your next round for the folks out there. Limit the mistakes when you get into trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's get to the nitty-gritty here with Jeremy Schilling, our resident golf expert. The big news, the PGA Tour denying giving the members the opportunity to play in that Saudi-backed tour, the golf series opener in London. Break this down for us. What does this mean? What's next? What's going on here with all this?
Yeah, so let's there's some fiction out there that we need to put aside. So let's talk about facts here. The facts were that this was supposed to be a breakaway tour. This is still a breakaway tour in 2024. Greg Norman said so yesterday after getting further investment from the public investment arm of the Saudi Arabian government, a government that is in very negative places in many Western governments for human rights violations. And thus, this is being deemed sports washing, and thus it's been highly confrontational, dirty money for a long time. After they realized that no top player was going to bolt on the back of Phil Mickelson's comments that basically looked at this all as being a facade and a charade, they decided to instead run a series of events. I'm saying series on purpose, a series of events. This is not a tour, but these are eight events that then lead up to a finale. Next year, it's going to be 10 events that lead up to a tour championship type thing. I say that on purpose, because there was a thought that the PGA Tour would follow what they did for the Saudi International event, sponsored by the same people. It used to be a DP World Tour event, a.k.a. the European Tour. This year was an Asian Tour event. And they let 24 players go back in February. It was won by Harold Varner over Bubba Watson, both PGA Tour members. But the difference here, the PGA Tour deemed, is that that was a one-off as part of a larger tour. And there are events on the Asian Tour that have nothing to do with the Saudi Arabian government. There are many of them that have nothing to do with the Saudi Arabian government. But they viewed this opener for the LIV Golf Series as the beginning of something, and something that would ultimately lead to a breakaway tour. That was a bridge too far. They wanted to put the line in the sand, and instead of having this confrontation in a couple weeks when the release deadline for their second event, which is a U.S.-based event, which goes completely against the bylaws for PGA Tour members, you cannot ask for any release to play in any North American-based golf tournament when there is a North American-based PGA Tour event happening. They decided to draw it here by saying, nope, we're not going to let anybody go. And there were 19 players in the top either 100 or 50. But the bottom line is there were about 10 PGA Tour members who got this notification yesterday, then went to the home membership. And that's where we are. So now the question is, we know that Sergio, who last week was caught on a hot mic saying, I can't wait to be done with this tour in a couple weeks. He was upset about a ruling. I can't wait to be done with you, talking about the official. He was just very rude to PGA Tour rules officials last week. Sergio, Lee Westwood, Phil Mickelson, Ian Poulter, Robert Garrigus, those are all of the PGA Tour member names that have been associated with this first event that we know have asked for releases. Will any of them sue? Will the LIV Golf people, led by Greg Norman, sue, claiming that the PGA Tour is a monopoly and that what they're trying to do here is illegal? Is it going to be a player that sues? Is it going to be a venue that sues in their country or in their location in the U.S., claiming that they were offered one set of players and now they're going to get somebody else, which would appear to be a lawsuit against the LIV Golf Saudi people, not the PGA Tour. The bottom line here is that this was always destined to end up in court. This is getting closer to ending up in court. The question is, will any player stick their head out and say, I'm going? Because here's the other thing. PGA Tour is not going to get you in trouble right now for saying, for asking for the release and then withdrawing the release. You can stay a member in good standing. Their problem is going to come the second you put a tee peg in the ground in mid-June at the Centurion Club outside of London. That is their point of no return. Question's going to be, is any player going to dare it, A, and B, is any player who dares it and then gets in trouble going to go to court? There's one other very important aspect of this, Luke, and that is that they cannot find a TV deal in the U.S. for this. CBS and NBC are definitely not going to go there. They have connections to the PGA Tour. ESPN host PGA Tour Live, they're not going to go there. Turner is not going to go there because They hold the match, which is sanctioned by the PGA Tour, and that leaves Fox. Fox was apparently in negotiations and, according to Sports Business Journal, backed out weeks ago. So now we're looking at streaming services. This first event to be played in like 3 weeks is going to be shown on YouTube, Luke. YouTube.
Interesting.
So you want visibility. You think you can have these big purses, Greg Norman. Well, nobody, not the Food Network, not A&E, not HBO, which is obviously associated with Turner, but not Stars. No network that has any connection to golf didn't want your product, and no entity that is connected to golf wanted your product. Instead, it is going to be shown on YouTube. Have fun with that.
Yeah, maybe they'll make it onto like Acorn TV Plus or something.
Is that a channel you have down there in Charleston?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Canopy Plus, some ridiculous streaming service. Talking with Jeremy Schilling about the latest in the golf world. All right, tell me this about the PGA Championship. Three names.
Yeah,
Tiger
which is
Woods.
Next week.
Yeah. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau. Of those three, do you expect to see all three, two, one? What do you expect?
I would expect two. I would expect those two to be Tiger. Now, let's just clarify things for Tiger. He was on the initial field list. He is then on the final field list that came out the other day. The significance of that is that the PGA of America presumably went to Tiger's camp and says, is Tiger still in? And Tiger's camp said yes. So now we're in the same boat that we are that we were for the Masters. If his body holds up the whole rest of the way, expect him to tee it up next Thursday on ESPN or ESPN Plus, depending on what time of day he tees off. If the body does act up, we won't see him. Phil Mickelson, according to PGA of America CEO Seth Waugh, has been in negotiations with them on how to return to the game, how to return and handle the media frenzy that will ultimately happen, not only because of the Saudi stuff, but other details now in Shipnuck's book, including the fact that he suffered $40 million in gambling losses over a four-year period. There are many questions to be asked right now about Phil Mickelson's behavior. Some will deem this newsworthy, some won't. They're trying to make this so that this is an easy entry point. So it would appear that the suspension, non-suspension is about to end. I do not expect Bryson. If Bryson attempts this, this is him being a complete idiot, because if anybody follows him online, and you have seen the scar that is on his hand to fix the ligament damage that he had in his wrist, it's a pretty serious one. So I would not expect Bryson. If I do, I think he's crazy and he's trying to do what he did at Augusta, which is no fun whatsoever. There's a fourth name that you need to keep an eye out for, and that is Brooks Koepka, who withdrew this morning from the AT&T Byron Nelson and did not give a reason for the withdrawal. To somebody who we haven't seen since Augusta, had his bachelor party the weekend after Augusta in Nashville, but we have not seen him on a golf course since. He was set to return this week as a tune-up event. He had been healthy going in, so I don't know if this is – I mean, this could be anything. This could be personal. This could be change of mindset. This could be injury. This could be a family issue. Like, we have no idea. But that's just a name to watch out there, gamblers, that we do have a big name both this week and next week who has withdrawn from the field this week. We'll see what impact that has for next week.
Speaking of gambling or this week, we have the AT&T Byron Nelson coming up. What should we expect this weekend? Who do you like this weekend?
This is a really good field and a Dallas area event that is feasting with Dallas area residents trying to get their wins. I'm going to point you in the direction of Dustin Johnson, who has not had a very good season. Don't be surprised if he goes low. Look, you can talk about Spieth, you can talk about Willie Z, you can talk about JT, you can talk about Scottie Scheffler. I think all of those are big asks. I think somebody like a Taylor Gooch or a Sam Burns is my guy, and I'll go with Taylor Gooch. I just feel as if he is the right guy in the right moment, kind of under the radar. A lot of guys may be, you know, taking it a little bit easy this week, trying to prep for next week in Southern Hills, which they haven't seen since 07, which means a lot of these guys have not seen, period. And I just think that, look, this is like the perfect place for Will Zalatoris to get his first win, the perfect place for JT to get his first win of the year. But I ultimately think Taylor Gooch gets his second win of the season.
All right, we'll see what happens this weekend. We'll break it down next week. He's Jeremy Schilling, our resident golf expert on Twitter at @JSchill, writes for PGA Magazine and joins us every Wednesday to talk about the latest in the golf world. Jeremy, appreciate it as always, and we'll do it again next week.
You got it. And by the way, you and Trent missed something. Trent, are you with us?
I'm here, Jeremy. What's going on?
I picked Keegan last week. I almost got a pick right.
Wow. Almost only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and bocce ball. So what are we doing here?
I knew I couldn't slip it past you guys. Yeah.
Did
I tried.
Did you pick you pick his collapse on Sunday as well?
Look, I got a very nice amount of money equivalent points in my one and done pool from his tie for second.
There you go. All right, well, that's worth it. We'll see. Maybe your pick will come through this week, and we'll forget about it by next Wednesday as well. We'll see what happens.
You know it. Thanks, Luke.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. By the way, speaking of waivers, right, the PGA Tour denied these golfers the waiver, the opportunity to go participate in this Saudi-backed tournament. I did see this morning, and I do want to just touch on this because I think it's nonsense. But South Carolina State, right here in our backyard, their signee, I think it's Jastevin. I think that's how he says his first name. Last name's Walker. He requested his release from his national letter of intent with South Carolina State back on April 11th, a month ago today. And that was after the coach left. Tony Madlock left after 1 year for Alabama State. And by the way, when he was introduced, he had some interesting comments that were kind of an indirect shot. He didn't say the name of the school, but kind of took some jabs at South Carolina State and left after just 1 year, and he was really successful. He's a good coach. But anyways, he leaves the program, right? So now this kid, Walker, wants to change his mind. The coach that was recruiting him is not there anymore. So he requested his release. The school did not give him an answer till this past Sunday, 4 weeks later, and by the way, it was denied. They denied him. This is garbage, all right? And not only did it take 4 weeks to do it, which is the classic. I'm sure we've all done this in our life. You wait long, you stall long enough to the point where it just becomes no longer an issue. Maybe you don't know, you don't want to give a tough answer to somebody, so you wait long enough until like the time passes, and then like you don't have to answer that question anymore because the deadline's passed. You just never answer. In this case, they answered a month later. They denied it. Now, the reasoning they said was they want him to meet with the new coach. Seems fair. Problem is, they haven't hired a new coach. It's been a month. So what are you doing here? Right, let him release him and let him go to wherever he wants instead of trying to force him to come to your school or trying to hold him to this obligation. It's garbage. It's been a month. You haven't hired a coach. I don't know why. I know Madlock kind of left you in the 11th hour, but you're the only school left without a head coach. You've had plenty of people to be able to choose from. You've had a month to do it. No coach. Kid can't get out of his letter of intent. What are we doing here? Now, regardless of what you think about the transfer portal or decommitting or whatever, I've always said, if you want to put any parameters on a transfer portal, that's fine. But if a coach leaves, you should let those kids move freely. The coach that recruited them is no longer there. You shouldn't hold them to that obligation. The coach wasn't held to that obligation. So anyways, long story short, just because it's in our backyard, I wanted to mention it. I saw it this morning. And since we're speaking about waivers in the golf world, same idea here. I think this is garbage. I don't think that's the right way to handle the situation. You don't take a month to get back to a kid and then, oh, by the way, no, not going to do it. The coach left. The kids should be free to move as well. When we come back, I'll continue to rant, this time about golf. Jeremy referenced the Sergio Garcia comments. We'll play the comments for you when we come back. I'm sorry. I got a real problem with it. I'm getting really annoyed with a lot of these golfers, and they're complaining. It could be a lot worse. We'll talk about that next. Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Treating my friend.
Coming up, getting real tired of these golfers and their complaints. We complain plenty around here, but when it comes to the golfers, time to suck it up. It's the Maher Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Jeremy Schilling, who joins us every Wednesday to talk golf. And if you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. And the podcast is available online, charlestonsportsradio.com. Head over there, click on our show page, find the show on demand. You know, it's been a long storyline in the golf world about this Saudi-backed tour. It's now become more like events instead of tours. Jeremy breaks it down for us every week. He was talking about it last segment. And we know about the comments from Phil Mickelson, and part of that was also, you know, his voicing his displeasure with the PGA Tour and looking for something better. And we had Sergio Garcia say something similar this past week that Jeremy referenced. During this past weekend's event, Sergio, to in case you didn't see it, you weren't watching, to set the picture for you, he was complaining with a rules expert about the drop. He hit it like off the green. It was in the tall grass, and it was by like some water, and he was arguing. So this is how the exchange went, and Sergio said something at the end of this clip about, you know, I can't wait to be done with this tour. Here's how it sounded. Sergio Garcia upset and complaining this past weekend.
Not when I got through here and everything.
Yeah, when you got into here and started searching, is when I started.
I mean, but I can't. You want to swim through the river? I mean, I wasn't looking for the ball there. I was looking for the ball once I got over this side. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it was on this side of the river.
Okay. I mean, I started the clock when you got over into here. So, I mean, if you said you weren't searching for it, you were trying to get to the other side, then that's different.
So you said took too long. Can't wait to leave this tour.
At the very end there, it's a little hard to hear. He said, can't wait to leave this tour. He then followed that up. He would later say in the next couple of minutes there, can't wait to be done with you guys. Can't wait to leave the tour, yada, yada, yada. Look, I get that he's frustrated, and a lot of times when we're frustrated, right, you ever get into a fight, you say something like, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have said that, and you can't take it back. We're emotional. We get upset. Look, he's a competitor. This is his job. He's trying to do well to be able to be successful, make money. Just you're a competitor. You don't want to be sucking out there. But I'm getting really tired of all these golfers complaining about the belief that they have it so bad on the PGA Tour. Starting with Phil Mickelson all those months ago, now Sergio Garcia. Mickelson has made $800 million in his career. It's not a fabrication. Now, he's gambled away like half of it. That's a whole other story. And I guess apparently the reason why Phil isn't very happy with the way things are going or is looking for even more money because he has a real gambling problem. And most people that have some sort of issue usually are bad gamblers as well. It seems to be the case with Mickelson, who has lost millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. Stop gambling. But in the case of Sergio Garcia, similar. Right? I mean, the dude has made Sergio Garcia in his career. He turned pro in 1999. He's 42 years old, still a young man. Tower of Power song. You're still a young man. Great song. Sergio Garcia has made $53 million, over $53 million in his career. He has 11 tournament wins. He's won one major. So, I mean, he's been successful, good golfer. I wouldn't say great. One major victory, 11 tournament wins, 42 years old. He has made over $53 million. He's the ninth highest earning golfer. Over $53 mil. And you want to complain about a drop of a ball and thinking you have it so bad on the PGA Tour, can't wait to leave and go play for those Saudis? You have made $53 million to golf and do so at a kind of an average rate. 11 tournament wins. You turned pro over 20 years ago. You've won one major in competing for almost 20 years in these events. Nothing too special. Over $53 million. He's not the best golfer on tour. Kind of average. Still has made over $53 million. 42 years old, has made over $53 million in his career. Doing pretty well. I'm just tired of these golfers. They're like, I get it. My job here is pretty easy. I'm still going to complain about certain things. We have a microphone that doesn't work. Now, that makes their job a little bit more difficult. But point being, in the grand scheme of things, I can't really complain as much as most people. I get to talk about sports for a living. But still, in our little bubble, in our little world, we still get frustrated about things at our jobs. I'm not digging ditches. I don't have to get up early. I get to sleep in. I watch sports all the time, and I talk about sports. I'm living the dream. But I'll still have complaints. We all will. But in the case of these golfers, right, you're not getting hit. When you golf, it has to be complete silence. People can't say a word. We got to be quiet. The golfers are doing something. The golfers are working. Don't make any noise around them. We've seen golfers have certain fans, when they're not being quiet, get ejected from the course. When you're not walking, you get the use of a golf cart. You then, when you finish up, go inside the clubhouse and can have a few adult beverages if you wish. You play on beautiful courses that down to every blade of grass is manufactured, right? It's set up for you. You compete if you want. You can compete every week, but what's the competition? Thursday to Sunday. I know you're still training and practicing, and you get there to the event early, but the actual event, Thursday to Sunday, you're working half weeks. You don't have to work every week if you don't want to. If you get to a certain point, like a Phil Mickelson, at least before he opened his mouth, Tiger Woods right now, you could compete maybe six times a year. Six weekends out of the year, making millions of dollars. There's a reason why when you get older, like it's Wednesday, which means I get to go play pickup basketball tonight. It's my favorite night of the week now. But when you get older, you don't go out and play pickup basketball anymore. What do? You bowl and you golf. People pick up golfing once they retire. Why? Because it's an easy sport. Not easy to be good at, but easy to get through. And you're making millions of dollars. You're not out there getting blitzed by Ray Lewis. You're not out there having Draymond Green knock you to the floor like we've seen how physical this NBA postseason is. You're not even out there playing 162 games in 170 days like baseball players. You're out there golfing on beautiful courses. People have to be very quiet around you. We'll get you on the golf cart and take you to the clubhouse where you can have a nice cold beer after a day of work. Still on the clock. You're going to get paid millions of dollars. You only have to compete every once in a while. And when you do, it's 4 days out of the week. You're getting millions. Sergio has won 11 events. He has made over $53 million. And you're complaining? You think you got it so bad? You can't wait to leave the tour? I mean, give me a break. I'm tired of all these golfers complaining. You got it pretty good. People choose to do what you do for fun. You get to do it and make millions of dollars. What do you do when you go on vacation? You're probably going golfing. I just went on a guy's trip this past weekend. Some of my buddies brought their clubs with them to go golfing. That was their idea of like a vacation. Sergio Garcia, that's your job. That's your profession, and you make millions of do it. You get to do what other people like to do to relax and have fun. You do it and make millions. Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm tired of all the complaints. Now, look, I'm self-aware. I'll tell you, I complain plenty on this show. And for some of you listening, you probably think my complaints are incredibly minor and, not worth complaining about. But all these golfers talk about leaving the tour and going to this. Oh, they're getting treated so poorly. We got to go for this other tour. Saudi Arabia backing this other. This is going to be so much better. Ah, please. Enough already. You, the amateur golfer that goes out on the weekend, you got it tougher out there than these guys. I'm tired of it. Go on to that other tour. See how it works for you. Go play on YouTube. See how well that does. Coming up, we get to Trent's Takes, as we do each and every day around this time. It's the Mara Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Mara Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up later on, we have to circle back to our NHL playoff showdown. And something was delivered to the show this afternoon that it's a big development. We got to get to call that a tease. We'll get into that coming up a little bit later on. But we do it around this time each and every day. We find out what's on the mind of the producer. It's time for Trent's Takes.
What's on the mind of the Morrow Midday Show producer?
Draft Luke Morrow.
That's right.
It's time for Trent's Takes.
The radio cowboy will be coming, and he's coming soon, folks. Saddle up, folks. Should be a good one here. Now, Luke, we have to start out addressing something that will be happening next week. There is a UFO hearing that'll be happening for the public. It's a public forum in Houston. Members of the House, members of the Congress are going to be discussing UFOs to the public. Now, I wanted to ask you, Luke, if you got to ask them one question about the knowledge they have on UFOs and intelligent life forms, what would it be? My question, Luke, how many? How many do we know of? Because this is, you know, it's a numbers game here. We got 8 billion people on this earth. I like our chances unless, you know, they're saying we double that population, you know? What would be the question you would ask? And by the way, they're not going to tell us anything. You know, they're just doing this kind of to calm everybody down because the amount of photos that have been coming out in the last couple weeks. But what would you ask these folks about their knowledge in the UFO world?
That's a great question. Yeah, I was going to say, is it too basic to just ask, like, do aliens exist? Do we know?
Yeah.
What do you know? Tell me everything you know. That would be my question. Can you tell me everything you know about potential aliens in outer space?
I think what they'll tell us is that they know nothing. And you know, we have no information on it. And look, you know, take that with a grain of salt, right? We see them. We know there's intelligent life forms out there. Let's not be fools, folks. But I don't think there's going to be too much revealed. But I wish I was there in that courtroom or wherever they are, because I'd be hammering with questions. Look, absolutely hammering questions.
Is it open? Like, can public go there?
I do believe so. Yeah, it's like a public hearing.
Interesting.
So, yeah, we might have to tune in, but maybe live stream it as we're on the show.
Who was that guy? Keith Bone? Who was the guy that asked a question? I'm going to have to look this up. He had a mustache and a red sweater. He asked a question to, like, one of the presidential candidates a few years ago, and he went viral and became a huge sensation.
Did he really?
Yeah, because he was kind of a goofy guy. Anyways, let's get this guy in there asking the questions all about the UFOs.
Yeah, we need somebody in there grilling. We need somebody in there asking the hard-hitting questions. Are we in danger? That'd probably be my second question, because as we've talked about, Luke, we believe that these are intelligent life forms that are years of, you know, ahead of us as far as technology goes, and they don't want anything to do with us. I think, you know, they come down, they look around and say, oh, this place is an absolute mess, and so they just go and find another planet out there somewhere where there's probably another Luke Morrow and a Trent Corville sitting in these exact seats doing a radio show, Luke.
If they're lucky.
If they are lucky, exactly. Yeah, and right. they get paid the big bucks around here. Also have to address something I heard yesterday. And if I was a Washington Commander fan, I would be a little concerned, Luke. Sam Howell, new backup quarterback of the Washington Commanders. I believe the social media team was doing a TikTok video where they said, what's something you've never had or what's something you've never done? And Sam Howell just says it casually as he's walking by the camera and goes, I've never had a steak. You are now a quarterback in the NFL, and apparently he's never had a burger either. He just eats chicken. You are a quarterback in the NFL. Breaking news, you're going to be at St. Elmo's. You're going to be at Ruth Chris. You're going to be at Morton's and all these other places. You might want to add a steak into the diet. And that, Luke, you know, as an NFL fan, as a, you know, Aaron Rodgers guy, obviously Packers guy, I know A-Rod's had a steak before, and maybe that, you know, has something to do with his success, but if I was a Commander fan, I would be very concerned that Sam Howell's never had a medium rare steak in his life. What are we doing?
Yeah, can you trust him? That's the big question, because look, I got nothing against vegetarians, but he's not a vegetarian. He has chicken, he just has never had a steak or a cheeseburger. I'll tell you what, after that Siddle game last night, I need to get something to eat. I grabbed a cheeseburger last night about 11 o'clock. It was delicious.
Mm.
Can you trust somebody who has never had steak or a cheeseburger before?
No, I don't think so. And also, like, you know, Dan Orlovsky right there, a video came out of him just eating plain chicken, no seasoning, with, like, I think he was dipping it in, like, mayonnaise or something. That's absolutely horrific. I hate it. But I do believe that Dan Orlovsky has had a steak before. But Sam Howell never, you know, going, have you ever been to a fast food chain and said, man, I need to get something quick, like you just mentioned, Luke? All right, let me get a double cheeseburger. Right. No problem. It's $4 and you eat it and it's great. It fills you up. You go right to sleep after. I'm concerned for the Washington Commanders and Sam Howell if this is true, Luke.
Yeah. Now, look, I'll say this, and Sam Howell, he's probably going to live 30 years longer than me, but.
That's a good point.
You know what? YOLO, I'll choose the great food.
Yeah, I'm stuffing my face before I'm just eating plain chicken. I hope at least he seasons the chicken, because folks who don't, I have a major problem with, and I won't eat your chicken if you don't season it. Thank you very much. We will move on, Luke. What a phenomenal win last night for the Miami Heat. That was dominating basketball. Hashtag Heat culture. That's what we talk about. That's what Eric Spoelstra has been trying to build since LeBron and D-Wade and everybody has left. I mean, to have seven players on our roster All five players, obviously, you know, scored in double digits. Two bench players in double digits, Luke. That is a recipe for success. If everybody's hitting shots, you didn't need Jimmy Butler to go for 30. He had 23 points, but he was consistent in his shot making, as well as everybody else. Bam Adebayo had a much better game than he did last time. I love where the Heat are going right now. They played physical lockdown defense, and I think they could give Boston or Milwaukee a run for their money, whoever wins that series, because I have no idea who's going to come out of that. I really don't. If Giannis can take over a game, it feels like whenever he wants, and Boston sometimes seems like they're not ready for it.
Yeah, now I don't want to get ahead of ourselves with the Heat. They still have to finish out the series. It looks like they will.
Right.
Who would you rather see next, Boston or Milwaukee?
Milwaukee. I don't want to see Boston. I have a weird feeling about it. Even though the Heat, obviously, when LeBron was there, he dominated Boston every single year. That was just what we did. Sorry, Boston fans, but we went up there and took care of business. I would rather see Milwaukee, especially without Chris Middleton, because I do believe Bam Adebayo is a good matchup for Giannis. I don't think he can lock him down, but they match up size-wise, and, you know, Bam Adebayo can run around. And just having Jimmy Butler's presence, I think he can lock down Drew Holiday. P.J. Tucker plays well, and if Tyler Hero. And, by the way, shout-out to Duncan Robinson. I know I was hating on him yesterday. Made some shots. That's why we pay him $90 million over the next 4 years, pal. That's why we did it. You're in there to make some shots. Hit him. Same thing with Tyler Hero. If those guys are on and we're playing tough defense, I think we go all the way to the finals, Luke.
Yeah, you got, I think it was 14 minutes out of him last night. He must be hurting today.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he's no sore. Doubt. And also, like I will say, as far as the 76ers side, I don't know if I put it on Joel Embiid as much as I do Harden and the rest of the squad, because I was watching that game yesterday while Citadel Baseball was going on. It was very evident, Luke, very evident. Joel Embiid was in massive amounts of pain. You could see it every time. At one point, I think in the first quarter, Bam Adebayo hit him, you know, right in his face. And obviously he has that fracture in his face right now, which I know very well about facial fractures. Not great stuff. So, you know, I understand his pain. And I'm not going to put it all on Joel Embiid, but Harden has one 30-point game, and the headlines on, you know, ESPN in the morning, is Harden back? Is he back? Is he back? He scored 14 points last night, so I'm going to put it more on Harden than I do Embiid, because he is very clearly playing through a lot of pain right now.
I agree with that, absolutely, yeah. Anything you get from Embiid right now is gravy. Just be happy he's even out there and contributing. This has been you know, quite the run for him in this series just to get back out there with all the injuries he has. James Harden has no excuse. He's just washed up and lousy right now. And I also agree in regards to what may be next. I would rather face the Bucks, especially if Chris Middleton. That may be the disclaimer. If Chris Middleton's still unavailable, absolutely give me the Bucks.
Yeah.
You know, the Heat have done a good job. Giannis's two lowest scoring playoff series since his first postseason, both came against Miami. So they've done a good job against Giannis. Last year, Chris Middleton really killed Miami. So if you give me the Bucks with no Middleton, I trust they can slow down Giannis enough. So I do agree with you. If I'm a Heat fan, I want the Bucks next instead of the Celtics.
I do have some PTSD, though, with the Bucks just because of that 4-0 sweep last year. I mean, it wasn't close. Like, we were getting blown out 30, 40 points, but Heat culture is now instilled in these fellas on the squad, and I absolutely love it, Luke. Another thing, last night, Marquese Chris and Bismack Biyombo, I don't know if you saw this.
I did.
But they got into it at the end of the Suns-Mavs game. Obviously, the Suns were blowing them out. And this happens sometimes where, you know, a player, after they get into a little scuffle, says I'll see you in the locker room or something like that. Remember Devin Booker, and I forgot who he was, you know, going at. They were running to the locker room to try to meet each other, but it never came to fruition. Well, actually last night Marquese Chris and Bismack Biyombo ran off of the court and met in the back hallway, and there, it looked like from the video, there was like one camera angle, there was like six security guards next to each other. I absolutely love the fire out of these guys, though. End of the game, Marquese Chris, Biyombo went up for a dunk, which, you know, unwritten rules, you probably shouldn't have done it. I understand that. And they met in the locker room. I love this out of the NBA playoffs right now, that there is actual genuinely hatred between these teams. And it seems like the Mavs and the Suns, the way they've been going at it, definitely have that. And I hope it continues, especially if you have Draymond, you know, going up against the Suns in the Western Conference Finals. This is just going to get even more fun, Luke.
Oh, absolutely. I have no problem with the dunk. I've always said on the show, all situations, football, basketball, whatever, you don't like it, keep them from doing it. I know they're up 30. It's the final seconds. Usually teams dribble out the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. If they want to play the final, these are the backups. You don't have Chris Paul out there, you know, throwing an alley-oop to DeAndre Ayton. If you don't want them to dunk it, don't let them dunk it. So I took no offense to the dunk. Hard foul. Also, you know what? That's fine with me too. You want
whatever?
Don't give him an easy dunk. Foul him. My only issue was kind of like chirping afterwards. Mm. Like, that's it. That's the play. They got a dunk. You gave him a hard foul. We're square. We're even. You don't need to get into his face and say, like, why are you dunking it? No. That's all part of the game. And if you want to commit a hard foul, I'm cool with that. But once the play's over, the play's over. I don't want to see the two complaining about it. He fouled me. Why are you dunking? That's part of the game.
Yeah.
Play till the final whistle. Now, in regards to the tunnel, I thought I heard someone say this morning that maybe it was just a cover-up. One of the guys ran down the wrong tunnel. Was that intentional, or was there confusion that they just both wound up in the same spot?
I think it started with Chris, the Mavs player. He ran into the wrong tunnel, and Biombo was already back there, like, okay, waiting for the guy. And so he turns around and then comes to the tunnel, and then, boom, there's, like, six security guards, and those two guys just absolutely chirping at each other. I love it. I absolutely love this, Luke. I think this is great for basketball. If we're getting these sideshows at the end of the game, absolutely love it. But you're right about that. You know, hey, you tried to dunk it. I blocked it. Boom. That's it. If you want to go talk about it outside or in the locker room, we can go talk about it. But, you know, you don't have to complain about it after. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, no, it's a basketball play. They got a dunk. Even if it's not a blowout in the fourth quarter, don't give up a free dunk. Go and hack the guy. I was taught the same way growing up playing basketball. That's fine. But that's all within a basketball situation. You don't need to get in each other's face afterwards and start jawing. That was good on both ends. And the reason why I was still watching a 30-point game into the final seconds is because me and Phil Mickelson had something in common with that game last night. And so that's the only reason why I watched 30-point games to the very end.
Same.
I got to make sure. Did this guy hit his point total yet? What's going on here?
Yeah, what are we doing? And also, by the way, Apple has discontinued the iPod after 20 years. Officially, they will be selling no more iPods. What a run. What a run. That started everything, Luke. Everything came from the iPod.
I love the iPod. My most recent iPod broke, and I haven't replaced it, but that was just within the last 2 or 3 years. Up until about 3 years ago, even with the iPhones, I would always have my iPod with me, and that's what I would always listen to my music on. I would keep it off my phone, keep it all separate. Big iPod guy. I had the original iPod. Love the iPod.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to hear that. That's sad news. We'll wrap up hour two next. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up hour two of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. I just came across this online, a little bit more on Sam Howell. He said he doesn't eat seafood either. So as part of Trent's takes last segment, we were talking about this. Sam Howell, new quarterback of the Commanders, has never had a burger, has never had steak, won't eat seafood. He says when he goes to steakhouses, I don't know why you go to steakhouses if you don't eat the steak, he orders chicken tenders.
Oh, all right. Oh, okay. What are we doing?
And how about this? When he goes to team dinners, he brings his own chicken tenders with him.
So, I'm sorry, is Sam Howell in the body of a 12-year-old, or what's going on here?
Like, I know, right?
I am concerned for the Washington Commander fans if this is your future starting quarterback. What are we doing here?
Now, I've never gone to this extent. I've never brought my own tenders somewhere, and I've never at a steakhouse ordered chicken tenders either.
Never.
I'm there for steak. But I was a huge chicken. My brothers still make fun of me today. Growing up, I always got the chicken tenders. We'd always go out to eat. But at least I graduated. I went for the chicken tenders, so now I always get the chicken parm, all right? A little more fancy. Give me a little pasta dish instead of the chicken tenders everywhere I go.
Does he have chicken tenders and fries, like, every day? Like, what's going on?
I guess so. If you want to be an NFL quarterback, just eat yourself chicken tenders every day. No steak, no burgers, no seafood, just a bunch of tenders. I don't know if that, you know, that's supposed to, if chicken's a healthy alternative, I don't know if it helps when you deep fry it. Hour three coming up next. The Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.